In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we're continuing in our series, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. And we're teaching you how to pray. Now, step one begins with the letter R from the acronym REFLECT. And R is Remember the Glories of God. And the idea here in the first step is before we begin asking God for something, we focus on Him. And we recall His person, His works, His attributes. The second step, which we're looking at right now, begins with the letter E from the word REFLECT. And it's examine your motives and manner. And the idea here is that now that we've contemplated the person and works and character of God, and we see Him as a holy God, we begin to see our own selves in light of His holiness, that we do stumble, we do sin. And it's so important at this stage in our prayer that we confess our sins, that we examine our life and confess to the Lord where we're falling short. Now, there's many ways to look at this, and I have several that I want to walk you through today. Let's begin with ways and words, as the way I've described this. And the passage at the beginning of this chapter, which I read from Matthew 6:5, Jesus teaching the disciples to pray, is an important reminder that God hates the ways of pride and hypocrisy. Interestingly, He also dislikes prayers that repeat the same words over and over. God, as I said earlier, wants an honest conversation in prayer. He doesn't want this vain repetition. And these are solemn reminders regarding our mindset as we enter the prayer closet. So what is the right kind of spirit in prayer? I think Psalm 34:18 says it, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So when we enter into the prayer closet and we begin to examine our motives and manner, we want to make sure that we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So let me ask you a question. When you pray, are you captivated by God or something else? How do you keep yourself focused on God in prayer? You know, when my children were younger, ages 6, 4, and 2, I would find them clutching their favorite stuffed animal when they were praying to God. And as lovingly as possible, I would remind them to give God their full attention and to put away their toys. As adults, we too must guard our mind and heart against clutching anything that would distract us in prayer. Therefore, we must examine our motives and manner in prayer. Now, just for a moment, think back to the last few prayers you prayed. What were they like? What was the content of those prayers? What did you discover about yourself when you think about these prayers? Were your prayers balanced? Were they about God? Or were they mostly centered on you, things you want, things you need? See, this is the challenge for us in our prayer time. We need to be, before we ever ask God anything, we need to admit and confess to God the areas where we're falling short, and then praise Him for the areas that are going well, that He's helping us. In fact, I would just take a moment right now in your mind and just ask God to help you excel still more in prayer. Let me ask you, how do you guard your attitudes and actions in prayer? How do you know if your prayers are acceptable and pleasing to God? So let me share a couple areas that are important to consider before you go and worship God in prayer. Remember, we want to ready ourselves to approach God with reverence, respect, and a holy devotion because He is worthy of our worship. Now, consider prayerlessness and lust. The book of James was written by the half-brother Jesus. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph did have other children, and James would later become a central figure and leader in the early church. In the book that bears his name, he discusses prayer. Listen to this from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure, that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James reveals by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the manner and behavior of some Christians has become spiritually compromised in the church. They were worldly Christians. They could no longer tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian by their words and deeds. They no longer loved one another. They were fighting, coveting, and lusting. And God grieves when his children act like this in sin. And as a result, some became prayerless. Is this you? Are you living a worldly life that you're not even praying, not even reading the scripture? Has discontentment and impatience impeded your prayer life? There were others in the church who were praying, but their motives in prayer were selfish, materialistic, and earthly. They were becoming more like friends with the world than friends with God, and this kills the prayer life. You know, over the years, I've counseled individuals and couples dealing with sin, and the root problem in every counseling case was the same. Troubles began when they stopped praying. If you are married and not praying together, go right now to your spouse. Both of you seek the Lord immediately. Confess to him your failure to pray as a couple and repent by praying daily together. I strongly urge you to memorize this passage from James 4:1-4 as a protection against prayerlessness, asking amiss, and worldliness. Let me ask you a question. Do you know your prayers may not be heard by God due to your unloving behavior? What if God refused to listen to your prayers? I describe this as the impenetrable ceiling. See, our relationship with God and others plays a significant role in whether our prayers will be heard or hindered. Consider the following passage directed towards husbands who fail to honor their wives. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with an understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. I remember the first time I read this as a single person, I thought to myself, I better love my future wife, otherwise my prayers will never make it past the ceiling. This does not just have to apply to husbands. This applies to all of us. If we have relationships in which we're not loving one another, our prayers will be hindered. Remember when Christ said to the brother who had a sin against another brother, he says, leave your gift at the altar. Go, reconcile with your brother, then come back with your gift. This principle of dealing with sin quickly and swiftly is so important for your walk before the Lord. Question, are you living a holy life right now? Could others tell by your actions alone that you are building upon Christ the rock and his word? How can someone who claims to love God expect answered prayer? Never forget that the manner in which you are living is directly connected to the effectiveness of your prayers. James would later write in James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer, here it is, of a righteous man avails much. Your right living or wrong living is directly connected to the effectiveness of your prayer, whether your prayers will get through, so to speak, or if they will be hindered. This is a scary thought, and it really should force us to examine our motives and our manner. Let me bring you to the next point about a quiet and peaceable life. We live in tumultuous times. It seems every week there's some conflict, some crisis, some catastrophe, and there is much to pray about these days. It was not that much different for the early church. So what's Paul's advice? This is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 7 verses. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What an important reminder today for each of us. May this consistent pattern of our life before God, authority, and others, that we pray for one another, and we pray for the lost leaders around us and the lost souls around us. You might be thinking at this point, John, how in the world is this done? And let me say, it is not done in the power of the flesh. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a spiritual discipline. And, you know, if you think about it, so often Christians in the news and various websites, and I don't need to point any one in particular out, but how often have we heard people complain over and over about the government and the corruption? And certainly there's good reason to complain. But what if we took all that energy, instead of complaining, we would go before the throne of God and we would pray to God and say, God, remove that corrupt politician, or better, God, save that corrupt politician. I think if the church dedicated itself to consistently praying for the souls and those in government, we might see a revival take place here in our own country. As impossible as that may sound, I do believe that there is power in prayer, and we need to be praying for our leaders, praying for their salvation, and praying that the corruption gets exposed and that the truth will prevail. That's a great prayer to pray every day. And if you're doing this, then I give you a hearty amen. Continue and encourage others to do the same. Now, as we continue to examine our motives and manners, consider this passage, Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? This is a great truth, and it's a reminder that we do need to ask. But make sure, as James said in James chapter 4, that we don't ask amiss, that we're asking with the right motives, that we're living life in the right manner. Now, when we're asking, we may not see an answer to that prayer right away. And that's why we must persevere. Here's a passage to consider, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" This is such a great reminder for us to persevere in prayer. Don't give up. You may be praying for a lost family member, and it may have been years. But while there's life and breath, there's hope. Do not give up. Persevere. Keep asking. And trust that your Heavenly Father, who knows you, who saved you and redeemed you, hears you. And he will answer at the right time, in the right way, perfectly. We'll see you soon as we continue this series on Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.